You are listening to Crosscheck Substance Abuse Radio, hosted by two-time Stanley Cup winner and hockey legend Kevin Stevens. Through hard-hitting discussion, personal testimonies, and cutting-edge resources to help battle the disease, Crosscheck is dedicated to ending the stigma and shame behind addiction and bringing forth the hope and support for those suffering from addiction to power forward and overcome it. Let's join Kevin Stevens and his team now on Crosscheck Substance Abuse Radio.
Welcome to Crosscheck Substance Abuse Radio. My name is Andy Bernstein, here with our host, the Pride of Pembroke, Massachusetts, two-time Stanley Cup winner, Kevin Stevens, Alyssa Horton, laughing as always, from Recovering Champions, and joining us in studio today is Amy George from Sunspire Health. How is everybody?
Great.
Doing good.
Well. Well.
Doing well.
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 Well, then, Kev.
Well. So we have a great show today, and before we get started with our interviews, let's review our news and notes segment, which is brought to you by our friends at Boston Financial Management. And this article, a little dated, March 19th, from a website called TheConversation.com. And the article is, the misuse of opioids has reached levels across North America. Every day in 2016, 116 Americans died from opioid-related drug overdoses. And so basically the article talks about how fitness and exercise is such a key part of recovery and prevention. And they're saying that, there's other factors as far as acceptance of pain, resiliency, and the confidence to cope through exercising and as a way to alleviate chronic pain. So for you guys, how do you see that with your life as far as exercise and fitness?
Well, I think exercise is probably the biggest thing. You know, obviously, when you're an addict and an addiction, it's kind of like, you know, there's certain things. Obviously, you got to take care of your sobriety and take care of being clean and sober. But I think exercise is a huge, huge thing for anybody that wants to stay sober or be sober, because it makes you feel good again. You're trying to do everything to get your life back to where you feel good about yourself. And I think working out, going to the gym, starting to feel better about yourself, I think it's very important that you get out there and exercise. I think it's huge, you know, and it makes you feel better because, you know, it seems like the more you exercise, the more energy you have. Like when you don't exercise and you sit around, that's when you don't have any energy. The more you get out there and feel good about it, so get to the gym and do things, run, all kinds of different things, you feel better about yourself and you feel better about, you know, like waking up every day and having like a schedule that you can do something like that.
You hit the gym pretty regularly, too.
Yeah, I did for a while now. I've been traveling a little bit and I've been kind of off schedule, but I'm feel so much better when I do. You know, it's just like anything. When you stop doing it, you know, it's hard to get back in there. So you want to keep your daily routine. And for me, it's all about a schedule and being on a schedule. You know, like I was on it my whole life, and I like to do that. That's a big part of it. Because your mental state, I think, consists of getting out there and exercising.
There's the structure of it all.
Yeah.
Alyssa, so you know, working for Recovering Champions, how is exercise integrated into your treatment?
So we try to utilize a ton of different fitness options. They are able to go to the gym every day. One of our staff is a personal trainer licensed, so he will guide them different ways. We have yoga. We have Pound Fitness, which is a cool new thing with the drumsticks on the floor. I don't really understand it, but it looks awesome and sounds really cool.
Do you teach it? You don't teach it.
No, God, no.
Okay.
Come on now. Look, I just got back in the gym myself
okay.
a month ago.
Okay.
Two and a half year break. It feels better to be back in it.
Yeah, so tell me about that. I mean, for you personally, how is it helping your recovery as –
I mean, like Kev was saying, it's my mental state. Like having that kind of the endorphin rush, my energy is up. I went to the gym purposely before I came here today so that I would be like lively and bubbly instead of like tired and having to drink an energy drink, which only eventually makes me more tired.
I think it's important. Like it's almost like, you know, planning your day. Like you plan your day around when you're in sobriety, going to a meeting. I think, you know, you can plan your day around like going to the gym, going to a meeting. It's all getting a schedule, and it's all something to make you feel better. You know, you go to a meeting to feel better. You go to the gym to feel better. They're all things that make you feel better about yourself, and I think that's important in staying sober.
And as far as a prevention standpoint, I'm sure it helps with that too, you know, aggression and coping with stressors in life, you know, getting out there. Amy is with Sunspire Health, and we're going to meet her, get her story in a little bit, but what do you think?
Well, now
even though you brought cakes,
now I know what my problem is. That I am maybe angry, not well rested because I'm obviously not going to the gym. But no, I totally agree. You know, we see people coming to Spring Hill, coming out of detox, and the transformation that we see in the first few weeks has a lot to do with the nutrition that they're finally getting, the people that are, you know, with us, that they're working out at the gym. We have a full gym so they can work out every day. We're doing yoga. People are getting outside. If it's springtime, summertime, we're out playing a pickup game of softball. That piece is so important. And usually around 2 or 3 weeks in, when I see people that I worked with on the front end, I'm always in shock. I'm like, has your family seen you?
Right.
You look incredible right now. It's just a change, a significant change over the first few weeks, just because that piece has been re-entered into someone's life. So it's just critical.
And it builds, obviously it builds self-confidence. And,
without a doubt.
Okay.
Absolutely. I think it helps with the esteem too. And it's also like, for what I've seen for our clients and in my own personal life, the more I've attended gyms or different classes, like, you start to build relationships with the people. Like, I have a fitness center at my apartment building, and this is how I've actually met most of the other people that live in the other buildings, is through the gym. So, like, I've had dinner with somebody from there. We've talked about different nutrition ideas and stuff. Like, this, it's a whole lifestyle.
And I think, too, we also encourage people to try something maybe they've never done before. Mm-hmm. For instance, we'll get a lot of men that will come in and say, I'm not doing yoga.
Yep. Right.
And yep. Then they give it a try. And that's exactly one of the pieces that they use when they move on from us, that they want to incorporate yoga into their life. We see it all the time.
Kev got a yoga mat for his...
A lot of people trying to get me into yoga, and I've been in a lot of rehabs, and I haven't tried yoga.
We'll get you.
Yeah.
I did it. I actually really liked it.
Yeah, I heard it's great. It's like something that, you know, anything to get your mind better, anything to make you feel better, it's kind of, it's important.
Just get out of your head. So, Amy, and if you want to read the article, it's on theconversation.com from March 19th. Amy, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Great. So Amy George is the Regional Director of Clinical Outreach with Sunspire Health in Spring Hill. Tell us about what you do.
Sure. Well, Spring Hill is in Ashby, Massachusetts. So we're out on 70 acres, sort of in the middle of the woods, right outside of Fitchburg, Massachusetts. And
God's country.
It sure is. Okay. And there is no doubt that there is something very special about the landscape up there, that there's something very conducive to the recovery process out at Spring Hill. And my role at Spring Hill is being out and about in the community. I'm building relationships with all levels of care, hospitals, structured sober livings, and families. You know, it's not uncommon for me to coordinate with Learn to Cope, which is a family support group. Really my role is to assist people in navigating the systems so that they can help find the right pathway to their recovery.
Okay.
And sometimes it's in crisis mode, and sometimes it's in contemplative mode. Am I ready to do this? So my role changes from day to day.
Okay. So would you work with somebody like Recovering Champions?
I sure would.
Yes,
okay.
We do.
Okay.
I'm an alumni at that Spring Hill. I went to Spring Hill, maybe a few years back. And like Amy said, it's a great place. It's kind of like it's up there in the middle of a little bit of nowhere. You're in the middle of the woods. But it's a really, really good place to go up and try to get sober. They have great people up there. The food was great. Everything about
the food is great. The food is great.
Stop right. You had me at hello. You had me at hello.
It's a great spot. It's an amazing. It's a place where you kind of go up there and kind of look up and you can see the mountains, and it's nice. It's a good spot to go and kind of get your mindset. So And Amy, you do a lot of work. I don't, you know, you're not even in recovery, but you're out there working with all these, all us guys, and that's a pretty amazing thing. Like, where do you, how do you go about like your day? Like, how do you like? Is
sure.
It, you're all over the place.
I'm all over the place. You know, I think the biggest thing for me, and you know, not being in recovery is sort of interesting, mm-hmm. right? Because yeah. a lot of people that work in this field yeah. are in recovery, but for me, I look at it like. I'm a mom. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I've seen in trying to assist people in finding recovery is that these are very hard systems to navigate. And a lot of times I'm talking to those families that say, you know, I didn't have my ducks in a row and no one picked up the phone and I talked to someone, but then they got frustrated with me and hung up. And, you know, what I want to do when I'm, you know, out and about and I'm meeting with families and I'm meeting with various clients is I'm a mom of three kids. I want to treat people the way I would hope and pray that someone would treat me if I ever was in the circumstance of having to find treatment for my mm-hmm. loved one. And more often than not, you know, I do hit people when they're, like I said, in crisis. They don't know where to go. And my goal is not always to have people just come to Spring Hill. It's really to help them find the right match.
We're going to take a short break, okay. and we'll be right back with Amy George from Sunspire Health.
You have been listening to CrossCheck with your host, Kevin Stevens. We'll be right back after these messages.
My name is Richard Morse, founder and chairman of Boston Financial Management. For more than 40 years, we have been dedicated to the creation and preservation of wealth for our clients. We strive to develop and implement individual investment programs to address the specific needs of each and every client. BFM is pleased to support CrossCheck Radio's mission of providing education and awareness about the drug addiction crisis currently facing this nation. We believe this program will increase awareness and begin to move the nation towards a better understanding of the crisis and ultimately to a solution. Boston Financial Management is proud to take an active role in promoting Power Forward, aired by CrossCheck Radio, and believe all communities and individuals benefit with a greater knowledge about the current opioid crisis. For more information about Boston Financial Management, please visit our website at bfminvest.com.
If you're in the market for a new or pre-owned Toyota Camry, RAV4, Corolla, Highlander, or Tacoma, make Copeland Toyota in Brockton your first stop, and it will be your only stop. With everything from sedans like the Toyota Corolla and Camry to SUVs like the Toyota RAV4 and Highlander to eco-friendly models like the Toyota Prius, you'll be able to browse the full lineup and test drive all sorts of great Toyota models. If you're on a tight budget, they have plenty of used and certified pre-owned Toyota models in stock too, alongside a nice selection of used cars from other popular automakers. If it's dependable auto service you're after, Copeland Toyota are the experts on everything from oil changes to brake repairs. They have an expansive parts and accessories department and have in stock what you're looking for. Count on Copeland Toyota when selection counts, when your time counts, when saving money counts. You can count on Copeland Toyota, 970 West Chestnut Street in Brockton, 508-584-2440, or visit CopelandToyota.com. Copeland Toyota.
Welcome back to CrossCheck Substance Abuse Radio. My name is Andy Bernstein with Kevin Stevens, Alyssa Horton, and our special in-studio guest, Amy George from Sunspire Health and Spring Hill. Kev, an alumni of Spring yeah. Hill, we're having a great discussion
yeah.
with Amy.
But yeah, Amy, a question I got for you. You know, I know when you know, we go out there and you get dealing with the addict, but it's not only the addict, it's all the people that everybody, a lot of the family, everybody's affected by the addiction of the person. So kind of tell us how you deal with the families, how you go about doing that.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the calls that I get are, you know, they're not always from a mom or a dad, but when they are, you know, we see a lot of emotion behind this, you know, and fear. So I think part of, you know, my role is to also encourage them to get well during the process. You know, I always refer people out to groups like Learn to Cope, that, you know, if they can support themselves through this process, because I think people begin to start to spin. And I've heard family members say, you know, I almost became addicted to my loved one's addiction, you know, and recovery, that every moment was spent ruminating on what they were doing. And even to the point where I've had a mom say, you know, people ask me how I'm doing, and I say, well, Charlie's doing great. It's you lose yourself in the process. Mm-hmm. So you really need to be well in order to support someone. You know, one of the best things I ever saw was in a training was a picture of a frozen pond, and a person was standing on the middle of it, and they say, you know, what, your child's out in the middle of the frozen pond and starting to crack, what do you do now? You know, your first instinct is to run out on that ice and grab them and save them, but chances are the ice is going to break even more and you're going under right along with them. So really what you need to learn how to do is to stay on the sidelines, on the edge of that pond, and throw them, you know, the tools that they need, the lifelines, and support them that way.
Yeah, and I think I think that's the hardest thing as a parent. You're a parent, like,
oh God,
I'm a parent too, and if I see my kid struggling and suffering, you know, it's very, very hard to kind of stay away. You know, you can do as much as you can do. There's only so much you can do. We all know that. But it's very, very hard to, like, see your loved one kind of suffer.
Yeah, and I think there's a, you know, there is a line between helping and then, you know, this word enabling that we hear so often. But sometimes I have parents that second guess themselves. You know, they're making a call and they've said, oh, am I enabling right now? And to me, you know, I usually say, it sounds like you're trying to help and potentially save your son or daughter's life tonight. You know, you're trying to get them into detox. So, you know, I think everyone gets really hypersensitive about what role they play and almost fearful because it's so overwhelming and so confusing. You want to do the right thing. You just have to be confident to know that there really is no right recipe. If there was, this would be so much easier.
You talk about enabling, and, you know, everybody throws that word out.
Sure.
But, but can you just kind of define it so people...
I find it to be really hard to define because, to me, I guess it has varying degrees. And, you know, I really feel like, you know, having your loved one sit next to you that's in crisis and picking up the phone to help them make phone calls, they may not be capable of making those phone calls themselves at that moment. So I wouldn't consider that enabling.
That's not a label.
You're being a parent. You're being human. Just like I'm going to make calls to help find you treatment. Am I enabling? No, I'm helping. I'm assisting in the process for you to get to a place where you're safe. So it's tricky. It really is. It's really tricky.
I'm with you, Amy. It's definitely, I don't feel like that's a necessarily enabling to help somebody that's wanting the help. That you can't really call that enabling just because, like, what, they didn't make the call themselves? Like, some of them are, one, incapable. You can't understand. They can't do an intake themselves. Or there's all the other things where they have anxiety, shame, guilt, and they can't get on the phone. Why not a family member help?
And this is like this saying, it's very important to kind of get on the phone when the addict wants to go to treatment.
Yeah.
I'm a perfect example. I'll give you 2 or 3 hours and then, you know.
Done.
Then I'm, you know, I got no time. I go do what I got to do, which is nothing. Right. But, you know, it's kind of a, but it's all about, it's all about, you know, you're helping, you know, that's not enabling. I don't think that's enabling. I think that's helping. You know, you're trying to help a person get into it. And it's difficult sometimes to get into a place. You know, it's not the easiest thing in the world.
I think the flip side of that, though, I've also, you know, at times spoken to someone who is maybe doling out cash. You know, oh, you know, every day he asks me or she asks me for $25. So, you know, I give him that. He needs bus money and blah, blah, blah. And I've said before, and, you know, sometimes you have to be really blunt. And I've said,
absolutely,
would you, you know, go to a dealer and buy your daughter a small bag of heroin? Oh, my gosh, I would never do that. That would be, I would absolutely... Do you think that maybe when you're handing them $25 that's similar? Yeah. That's exactly what you're doing. Oh, my gosh, I never thought of it that way. I mean, sometimes it's also our role to point things out and sometimes give the harsh truth, you know, that this is not the way to go. Cash is never a good idea.
No. They even found ways to do gift cards. I used to suggest to my clients' families, like, give them gift cards. And then they're like, oh, well, they're trading them now. So it's not helpful.
Gift cards.
Yeah.
So Where can people find you? To
everywhere.
It's true. I've seen her.
You're gonna stay with us, but where can people find and learn more about?
Well, I think first of all, we have a Facebook page, Sunspire Health Spring Hill. A specific Facebook page, so like our Facebook page. I'm always available and reachable. My phone number's, easily accessible, and you can certainly give it out. When I say call anytime, I really and truly do mean that, mm-hmm. because this is life or death for a lot of people. And you know what? If it interrupts my dinner, I'm fine with it. It doesn't matter.
Real quick, how did you get started in this?
Oh my gosh. It's sort of weird because I worked in mental health for a very long time. I was home with my kids after that and started back part-time working, teaching the drunk driving education classes, the 16-week classes.
Oh boy.
And then ended up moving to this side of sort of outreach business development. And I will say, I always say I'm not that good at a lot of different things. Like, I'm not good at math. I don't balance my checkbook. Like, I'm not good at that stuff, okay? Like, don't put a math problem in front of me.
Forget it.
But for some reason, something about this world has really clicked for me.
Me too.
And I never expected to be here.
Never.
I am so passionate about it. I love it.
Right.
And it's the weirdest thing because I'm not passionate about that many things either.
I know.
So I eat, sleep, drink, breathe, live the recovery world. And it's so funny because...
You're not in recovery.
And I never expected to be here. And my family's like, all right, already. Like,
mine too. Like, my mom just right. got, my mom's like, oh, my I just mom. Read this article in the paper today. I mean, literally.
And my kids, my son is 8, and I say, Tyler, don't eat gummy bears if you find them on the bus. Why, mom? There's probably weed in them. Yeah. And he's like, oh my God, mom. Like, seriously right now. Like,
Amy.
They're so irritated with me, but. But they know that we're doing good.
To learn more about, thank you, Amy.
You're welcome.
to learn more about Sunspire, you can visit our website at powerforwardnow.org, and we'll be right back after a short break.
You have been listening to CrossCheck with your host, Kevin Stevens. We'll be right back after these messages.
When dealing with substance use disorders, finding help is so important. And Plymouth County Outreach PCO and our nonprofit partner, PCO Hope, is always there for you. Plymouth County Outreach is a collaboration of the 28 police departments in Plymouth County, the District Attorney's Office, the Sheriff's Department, and dozens of treatment and recovery organizations. Our region's major hospitals, faith-based community organizations, the recovery community, local coalitions, including PCO Hope. PCO Hope is a nonprofit volunteer organization that provides substance use disorder assistance and resources, including at a bi-monthly drop-in center session at the Plymouth and East Bridgewater locations. At these drop-in centers, you can receive information on the availability of substance use and mental health services, Narcan training, Narcan kits to at-risk individuals and loved ones, referrals and access to treatment services, family education, and faith-based intervention and support. To learn more about the comprehensive services PCO Hope can offer, visit the East Bridgewater Outreach Drop-In Center on the first and third Thursday of every month at the Community Convent Church, 400 Pleasant Street, East Bridgewater, from 5 to 9 p.m., or at the Plymouth Outreach Drop-In Center on alternating Tuesdays at the New Hope Chapel, 89 Court Street in Plymouth.
At Tracy, come in and see the difference for yourself.
They have the largest selection.
I found my dream car here.
The choices are endless.
There is no pressure.
No pressure.
No pressure.
We'll help you make the best decision.
We've bought 30 vans here.
I love my new car.
They put the fun back into buying a car.
I wouldn't go anywhere else.
Everybody wants a good deal.
It's one of the reasons I keep coming back.
Experience the rock solid difference.
Tracy Chevrolet Cadillac, exit 6 off Route 3, Plymouth, Mass.
Hey, this is Sam Mettler, the creator of A&E's Intervention. You're listening to CrossCheck Substance Abuse Radio.
Welcome back to CrossCheck Substance Abuse Radio. I'm Andy Bernstein with Kevin Stevens, Alyssa Horton from Recovering Champions, Amy George from Sunspire Health, and let's welcome Mike Ferrullo from the Boston Bulldogs Running Club, which is part of our Making a Difference segment, which is brought to you by Tracy Chevy in Plymouth, Mass., along with Plymouth County Outreach. The Boston Bulldogs are a co-ed nonprofit running club that was established to provide an anonymous and safe community of support for all those adversely affected by addiction, those in recovery, their families and friends, and the clinical community and the community at large. Welcome, Mike.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. So how did the Bulldogs begin?
Well, let me just say that I just want to always get this out. The Bulldogs are for people in recovery like myself, but it's also for people impacted by addiction. You were talking about the family, and of course the family's impacted. So we are trying to promote wellness for the family too. And other people who believe in my vision of wellness and recovery. We have a lot of volunteers, a lot of people who just are really embracing what I'm doing and are part of the club. We have about 150 members, and right now we have three chapters. Our original chapter was in Cleveland Circle, and we have one in South Boston. We partnered up with the Gavin Foundation, and we have one in Plymouth.
Okay.
So, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, how do you see running?
I wanted to get a chance to answer your first question, but I just wanted to make sure that people understood that it wasn't just for people in recovery. We have so many people that are getting help that have either lost a loved one from addiction or are struggling with someone who is experiencing some form of addiction. I'm a LICSW social worker. I've been in private practice for 30 years. My specialty is treating addiction. So, you know, I've treated a lot of families who suffer. So I'm as passionate about helping them as I am people that are in recovery or struggling to get sober. So basically what happened was 40 years ago, I went into rehab for about the 15th time. Mm-hmm. And I was a troubled teen. My dad was a famous athlete, and, you know, I was kind of a hard act.
Carl Ferrillo?
Sammy Foley was a boxer out of the North End.
Okay.
Anyway, I was a troubled, I got into drugs. I got into a lot of difficulties. And when I finally hit a bottom, I stayed in treatment for 6 months. I was in a halfway house for three. I was determined this time to do it. I was young, and it was kind of fortunate. I was so wild and crazy that I just hit a bottom at an early age, actually. I couldn't control myself, which ended up being a blessing because, you know, I ended up sort of getting the message and getting the idea. I didn't want to live like this anymore. But when I got out of rehab and I became a drug counselor, I had who am I now? This is a big issue here. Who am I now? I was a troubled teen. I was a drug addict. I was an and now I'm just trying to be an average person, a person in society. And it was very hard to adjust and figure out who I am now without that identity. And one day I started running because it was during the running boom in the 70s. And I, you know, had ADHD, I had a lot of anxiety, early experiences around, you know, just the struggle of being sober and you know, getting back to school and trying to just handle sobriety. And so one day I went out for a run, I ran 2 or 3 miles and I go, wow, this feels good. Mm. You know, it was helping me. And then I joined a running club and I ran a marathon and I got all kinds of positive feedback. And then I started to establish a new identity. I was no longer a troubled teen. I was no longer an addict. I was becoming somebody who was looked at in a positive way. You know, now you're a marathon runner, you're a college student. Very, very important.
You changed the narrative.
I changed the narrative, and running gave me something to do. The running community, you know, they didn't really know about my addiction, but they welcomed me. I was a pretty good runner. So the support I got in the running club, and then just the fact that I was running 30, 40, 50 miles a week, you know, gave me something to do and really helped me with my mental and emotional struggles.
Yeah, and I think what Mike is saying, it's so important. Sometimes, you know, as we're getting clean and getting out of rehab, we really don't have a lot of people we maybe not know. We don't really have groups. Yeah. We don't have people we can really hang out with. It'd be great, like what you're doing, like you're saying, the boss below, when you get out of the rehab, when you get out of these places and want to join some, you know, you're running with people that are struggling with the same things. Yeah. So you're basically getting some exercise and being around people that are struggling the same way you are. So you're kind of getting two things at once, and you're really filling a void. It's a great thing because I never really thought about the connection of, like, it's almost like being in a meeting, but you're exercising. You know, you can talk about all the things as you run. You know, it's very important. It's a great thing you have, because, like you said, a lot of times when you're lost right off the bat when you get out of rehab, you're not sure what you can do. And I think, you know, exercising, getting into a group like you have, it's a good thing.
So can you give us some examples of success stories?
Yeah. So this is amazing. So Monday was the Boston Marathon. We had a total of 8 people who ran the Boston Marathon, the Boston Bulldogs. 3 of them, Will, Sean, and Brian in recovery, came into the club. One guy heard me talk at a halfway house, came in, joined the club. No running experience. We have 3 levels of coaching. I coached the beginner, so I coached him to run his first 5K, and then he started training for a half marathon, then he started training for a full marathon. So those 3 guys just finished the Boston Marathon. Wow. They've been sober for over a year. One of the other guys has been 2 years. And, you know, I can't tell you how much they're getting, you know, how good they feel about themselves and all that positive feedback. The same kind of feedback when I ran my first marathon in New York. My parents were there. My mother was there. And when I crossed the finish line of the Boston Marathon, the tears were coming down. I said, Ma, why are you crying? Look what I just did. She goes, it's unbelievable to be at the finish line of the Boston Marathon instead of being in court or coming to jail to see you. You know, and at that moment, I realized that this wasn't more just about me. Mm. You know, this was about me helping people get, you know, my mother feeling better now and not having to experience the negative consequences of my addiction.
Can you guys relate?
Yeah, it's just a good feeling. Like you said, these guys, you know, they're sober a year or whatever. I remember we were down in Plymouth. I was doing something with the police down there at one of these, down at Plymouth Center. And after we finished, there was a running group getting ready. All the sober people, there was probably 30 people getting ready to run down there. And it's amazing. It's just kind of amazing how these groups come together, how you brought a group together.
Yeah.
And bring the positivity about it. It's just the mental state of it and all the good things you can feel about it.
So the question is, why running and why running club? They're very equally as important, because what happens is when you the 3 things that I talk about when people come into the club, the 3 important things of recovery is putting effort into your recovery. I'm trying to promote self-leadership in recovery. I'm trying to communicate to people the old work. You've got to put effort into this. No one's going to fix you. You can get help, but you have to show up. That's number 1. Just show up every Saturday. Stick with your goals. Everybody that comes into the club, we have a full circle program. They have a goal, whether it's a 5K, a 10K, half. They get coaching. They get a wellness sponsor, which checks in with them. The relationship is key with the sponsor, with the club in general, and everybody who shows up on a Saturday. When you're new, no one's saying, why are you there? That's against the rules. It's up to that person to say, I'm here because I'm in recovery, or I have a loved one who's experiencing substance abuse. But being in the full circle program, they get the sponsor, they have a goal, and they get that kind of support. That is key. Because now you have 3 things. You're developing faith and confidence. You're developing a feeling of being in a family, because that's what it's about. We're a family. And, you know, and guys calling me every day. They're helping one another out. That's key to, so it's putting effort into your recovery. It's asking for help. Mm. And I know everybody's heard that a million times. And it's also giving back. Those 3 things. When you're in the Bulldogs, that's what you're doing. You're putting effort. You're showing up. The motto of the club is do what you have to do, not what you want to do. Because who the hell wants to get out of bed when it's freezing out and show up and run and stick with their program?
Right.
But what I'm saying is, whoever you think you are because you're an addict or you had mental or emotional issues, that's not really who you are. If you start to work hard and you follow those 3 steps, you will become the kind-hearted warrior that you really are. Because my belief is that we're all good and we get lost. Mm-hmm. I thought I was the worst person on the planet. Mm-hmm. I thought I was, you know, I had good parents, my father, what's wrong with me? Mm-hmm. You know, I just felt like I was, something was wrong. I wasn't a good person because I did bad things. But through this transformation in the last 40 years, I am a good guy. I really care about people. Mm-hmm. I have a heart, and I have a lot of discipline. And that's, and you know, but I never knew that. I never knew, never knew. I was impulsive. I was, but I always say, don't believe who you really think you are. And the other three things that we teach in my club is the first, ethical development is really important in recovery.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't start to change the way you're relating to other people and the way, if you're stealing somebody's shampoo and treatment.
That's right, yeah.
You're not going to get better. I talk about that because I had to change. I stopped doing drugs, but I still was just full of greed and I didn't know any other way but what can I take? Yeah. Oh, let me take this right now. This is mine.
You can have it.
So changing and working on your ethical development, your mental development, we teach mindfulness in there. I go on retreats every year for 8 to 10 days. I don't speak because it's important to have the physical outlet, but also to start working on your mind, because don't believe everything you think, because if you do, you're in trouble.
Big time.
And you can through mindfulness, you can start to observe what the narratives and not become reactive. We teach mindfulness that you can learn to respond
to the voices.
Yeah, you can respond rather than to react, whether it's emotions, whether it's a craving, whether it's a narrative that I can't do anything. That's just a narrative that's based on habitual conditioning. So we teach those three things. So I am trying to do a whole lot with the Boston Bulldogs.
All right, Mike, we're going to be right back. We're talking to Coach Mike Ferrullo from the Boston Bulldogs, and we'll be right back on CrossCheck.
I can't help it, I'm too intense.
You have been listening to CrossCheck with your host, Kevin Stevens. We'll be right back after these messages.
Recovering Champions knows firsthand how isolating and intimidating addiction can feel. They also understand that no two people develop addictive behaviors the same way. That's why they tailor their treatment plans to fit the unique physiological, psychological, and spiritual makeup of each individual client. Throughout treatment, Recovering Champions teaches and reinforces the life-changing principles and practices of the 12 Steps to Recovery. There is hope and help from addiction. Call Recovering Champions of Cape Cod right now at 844-888-5391 or visit their website at recoveringchampions.com. Most major insurance plans accepted. That's 844-888-5391. Or visit online at recoveringchampions.com.
We at Sullivan Tire support Kevin Stevens in his quest to support those who suffer from substance abuse. Thank you, Kevin, and best of luck.
Welcome back to CrossCheck Substance Abuse Radio. I'm Andy Bernstein with Kevin Stevens, Alyssa Horton, Amy George from Sunspire Health, and we're talking to Coach Mike Ferrullo from the Boston Bulldogs, and we're having a great chat. And Mike, you have a upcoming race to talk about?
Right. We have the Run for Recovery, which is May 20th at Franklin Park. And we also have a tribute to those who have lost their lives to addiction. This is our third annual Run for Recovery. We have great sponsors. We have the Bournemouth Hospital, and we have the Mayor's Foundation is one of our sponsors, and actually the mayor is going to be there. So this Run for Recovery has been an amazing event. We want to get as many people out, families out there. You can either come and just be part of the experience. You can walk. You can run. You can volunteer. Run for Recovery, May 20th, Franklin, as they say in Boston, Park.
Franklin Park. And so how many people?
Well, we'll probably have around 400 to 500 people.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah, and we're competing, actually, we're competing against the Harpoon 5-miler, and they already got 5,000 runners because, you know.
Yes. They're getting beer,
it's
right?
A paradox.
Right.
Yeah. But you know, I'm a fighter. I'm getting. I'll. You know. Yeah. We're getting. Our numbers are going up. One of our ambassadors is Jack Fultz. He won the marathon in 1976. He's going to be there. John Ratty, who's written a lot extensively. He's a psychiatrist out of Harvard. He's written extensively on how exercise helps with mental health issues, ADHD and addiction. He's going to be there. I'm on his board, Sparking for Life. So it's an amazing race, which, you know, we're just trying to promote wellness and recovery. And I hope everybody can show up and meet the mascot. I mean, the mascot, Gus, our bulldog.
I love it.
He's in a jogging carriage because he doesn't want to run. He doesn't want to walk. He just wants to be there. So he's there. And you can go on our website and get all kinds of information about the race. That's the BostonBulldogsRunning.org.
So are you looking to expand the Bulldogs to other parts of the area?
Well, right now, I'm a visionary. So I have my team is keeping me in check.
Yeah.
You know, I can't slow down here with this because we have a momentum going. We have such a good thing going. You know, this idea of promoting wellness. I have friends who have been in recovery almost as long as me, they have passed, not from drugs, but from emphysema, from heart condition, because they've been faithful to their recovery, going AA, but they didn't pay attention to stopping smoking, going to the gym. So there is a whole movement now around wellness, and I'm capitalizing on it because I just took advantage of it at an early age. A lot of my friends said, "Why do you run? You're crazy." You know, I used to get that, you know. But running helped me mentally, physically, and emotionally. And the thing about endurance running is, I call it endurance training, because in early recovery, one of the things that we need to learn how to be mentally and emotionally fit, you know, handle the challenges in early recovery mentally and emotionally. But when you're an endurance runner, you end up learning to become mentally, physically, and spiritually tough, because you're out there running, and you know it's a challenge. So you're learning mental, physical toughness. And one of our ambassadors, Becca Peasy, who just won for the second time the World Championship Marathon. She ran 7 marathons, 7 continents in 7 days. And she talks about something where she was saying, she's often asked, how do you do that every day, 26 miles for 7 days? She says one needs to learn to become comfortable being uncomfortable. And that is a big part of recovery because, let's face it, life is difficult. And when you're struggling, your first feelings, let me get away from this, is unpleasant. Mm-hmm. This is what happens with all of us, especially addicts. Low tolerance for anything is unpleasant. Guess what? Life is unpleasant. Life is difficult. Learn to be with that difficulty in a graceful way, like what I call staying in the pocket. And this idea of learning to be comfortable being uncomfortable is a great metaphor for people in early recovery to understand. Don't complain about being, this is it. Life is difficult. You have to learn to be able to deal with it. And through endurance running and through sticking with goals, you learn, wow, I have the ability to endure a lot, not just mentally, but physically. That gets carried over to helping people on a daily basis staying sober. Certainly helped me.
Yeah, I think just as Mike's talking about, it kind of relates in all different ways with addiction and runners, is that we're not always going to be comfortable. You're not always going to be comfortable running. You're not always going to be comfortable in your daily life. You're not always going to be comfortable in anything. It's about doing the right thing and having attention and having discipline. I think, being a runner, trying to get clean and sober, you gotta be disciplined. You gotta have some discipline in your life. I think discipline's huge in any way.
And when you put effort in, you realize your true capacity. Like, you end up feeling better about yourself. The most important thing in recovery is learning to feel like you're just another person and not to identify totally. I'm in recovery, but I'm also a clinical social worker. I have a beautiful wife. I have a son. You know, there's more to me than just being a drug addict. And that's another very important aspect of this, is to realize that, you know, you're more than just a person in recovery, and that you can do amazing things, and you can start to feel better about yourself through putting effort into whatever you're doing. But you can't do it without being connected to other people. You know, and one of the main enemies for us in recovery is isolation. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And isolation stems from fear, anxiety, feeling not good enough. I just say, show up every Saturday. And when they show up, they start to get the love and the support. And they start to give back and they go, wow, look, I'm just another person here. And I have the same abilities. What I always say to people, being Italian, we're all average meatballs. And, you know, you're not special and you're not defective. You know, you're not like this really scumbag that you think you are. And you're not this narcissist person who thinks that we're just in the middle somewhere. Yeah. And we're all trying to do the best we can. And that's what I'm trying to help people in recovery do. When I see three people crossing the finish line of the Boston Marathon that have been struggling, that have been in jail, that are, and seeing and they, how good they feel, and their families are so proud of them, it keeps me going.
Okay. No, that's awesome. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back. I know, you're exhausted.
I need to go for a run.
You need to go for a run. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with CrossCheck Substance Abuse Radio.
You have been listening to CrossCheck with your host, Kevin Stevens. We'll be right back after these messages.
Kevin Stevens and CrossCheck Substance Abuse Radio, along with Plymouth County Outreach, the PYDC, and the Festival of Praise, present the Take Back event. Saturday, April 28th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at New Hope Chapel, 89 Court Street in Plymouth, Mass. Come and safely dispose of your unused and unwanted prescription meds and learn about the dangers of the opioid epidemic and more. For more information, listen to CrossCheck Radio Saturdays at 3 p.m. on this station.
Hello, this is Paulie V. Y'all listen to CrossCheck Substance Abuse Radio with Kevin Stevens.
Welcome back to CrossCheck Substance Abuse Radio. I'm Andy Bernstein with Kevin Stevens, Alyssa Horton, Amy George from Sunspire Health, and Coach Mike Ferrullo from the Boston Bulldogs, who has been kind enough to come in and tell us about the Bulldogs and the great work they're doing. Mike, so tell us about, for the average person and listener out there, the average meatball or the person the person willing to get ready to get started, how does that?
So I coach the beginners.
Okay.
And when someone shows up and they go, I never ran before, or I'm really out of shape, some people in early recovery, 80% of them are nine smoke, and I say, just show up anyway. What we have is we start off with what's called the walk-jog program. So they're with me. I'm the coach. At the reservoir at BC, it's a mile 0.6. And the goal is to run. You start, and you jog slow. LSD running, long, slow distance. And what? Yeah, not the LSD stick.
Timothy Leary, yeah. Right?
But so the idea is when I'm running with a beginner, we run, and if he can run and talk and have a conversation, that means he's running at the pace that he needs to run. If he's breathing heavy, he either slows the pace down or he walks a bit. Hmm. Now the goal is to show up, and I'll say after 2 or 3 weeks, you will get around that 1.6 mile. And then when they run that first 1.6 without stopping after a couple of weeks, it varies on the person, they feel like they just feel so terrific about themselves. And then they'll say, I want to try to get around this 1.6 again without stopping. Now that's a 5K. And then we work at trying to get them increasing the long run that runs Saturday by 10 to 20%. So let's say somebody eventually runs that mile and a half without stopping. Then I go, the next Saturday, you're going to run, say, 2 miles. So, and then the next day, the week, they run 2.5 miles. So it's a slow progression. And I'll assess where someone's at. Some people go, they'll be able to run 3 miles without stopping because they're running slow and relaxed.
Now, do you give them a program? Well, say they want to like run during the week and stuff like.
That's a good question. Yeah. We have a 6 to 8 week program. Everybody who signs up to run a race gets coaching, as I mentioned. They get a wellness sponsor, and they get a 6 to 8 week program, whether it's a marathon, half marathon, 10K, You can either get a beginner's 10K program, something in the middle, or advanced. Everybody gets, they follow the 6 to 8 week training program. The 5K is very simple. You know, like I'm mentioning, you have to run a minimum, you don't have to, but you want to run a minimum of 3 times a week. You do cross training. There are 3 aspects that I teach when I coach runners is the 3 S's: strengthening the muscles, stretching the muscles, and softening the muscles. Because when you first start running, you're susceptible to injury because you're putting trauma on your body. But if you go home and you do the roller, or you stretch, you know, and cross training is really important when you want to advance. We've had people who've not run, they run a 5K and now they run a half marathon. We've had a number of them run a marathon. You don't have to get, so there's full circle one is a 5K, full circle two goes all the way up. The guys that just ran the marathon, those are full circle four. Here's the other cool thing. And obviously I'm very proud of the running club, but I want to say this. In early recovery, when you complete full circle one or two or three or four, then you can become employed by the Bulldogs. When you go out and you talk to someone at, say, your program, Amy, they get paid to go there and speak. And someone was supposed to come today, that person would get paid. So we have, you know, we're able to give people a stipend for going out and spreading the word, which, you know, helps people in a recovery because they're struggling financially.
Right.
I mean, how much does it cost to rent an apartment today? Forget about it. You know, people struggle. Even if they're working, they need to make a lot of money. So I'm very proud that we can employ people and give them a monthly stipend every month.
So it's really more than, obviously, it's more than just a running club. It's really a holistic approach.
We're a non-profit. Yeah, we're my vision, here's my vision. I can't say this too loud because my wife's listening. She's always slowing me down. But I will tell you, if I can come back here in 2 years, we will have a Boston Bulldog Wellness Center.
Awesome.
Where people can come, we have mindfulness meetings, we'll have all kinds of social things. You know, it's the tribe mentality. We're here, we're all, you know, enjoying one another, we're all supporting one another. There's amazing healing in community. And not just, you know, putting all the drug addicts together, all the Al-Anon people. We all need to come together and heal and support one another.
A team effort.
It's all community.
Coach,
yeah.
Thank you very much for coming on the show today. Please give your website again.
Oh, okay. Yeah, BostonBulldogsRunning.org. Yeah, and we got a Facebook, too. Facebook would be Boston Bulldogs Running. May 20th, Run for Recovery. Please come and support the Boston Bulldogs and support wellness and recovery. God bless you.
Thank you. And we'll have that his link on our website, the Boston Bulldogs Running website, or on our site. And, you know, on behalf of everyone, I thought this was a great show. And thanks to Kevin, Alyssa, Amy George, and Mike Ferrillo.
Coach Mike.
Coach Mike. And for more information, you can visit our website at powerforwardnow.org. And we'll see you next week.
Thank you for joining us today on CrossCheck Substance Abuse Radio. And we look forward to you joining us every Saturday as we remove the mask of addiction and power forward to a happy, healthy life. If you or a loved one is suffering from substance abuse, please call the Massachusetts Substance Abuse Hotline at 1-800-327-5050. That's 1-800-327-5050. Or visit our website, powerforwardnow.org, for more information and resources.